Let's continue in prayer just for a short while and then we'll hear God's word together. Let's pray. Loving and heavenly Father, we pray now that thou deliver us, Lord, from every distraction of this world and help us to devote ourselves for a while to thy word, that we might profit from our studying the Holy Scriptures, hearing this message and receiving it into our hearts. We pray, Lord, as we go through this sermon tonight, we pray that thou give us light upon it, understanding. And we pray, Father, that thy Spirit might apply all these things to our own hearts. We are thy people. And if there are those here, Lord, that are not thy people, we pray that even tonight, that make them so. Grant to them who heard this morning the experience of thy new birth. So do hear us now and help us, we pray, and grant to us all grace, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, the text of our Bibles I'd like to begin this message with, the sermon with tonight, is John chapter 14, and I'm going to read to you verses 2 to 4. Don't really have to remind those of you who are regulars here, but at the moment on a Lord's Day evening, I'm chiefly addressing those who are Christians in the morning, those who perhaps are not. But just as the morning message can, I trust, be a blessing to those who are Christians, the evening one, it's also to unbelievers. But just so that you're aware, the message tonight is chiefly directed to those who do know the Lord Jesus Christ, their own personal Lord and Saviour. To such people, Christ was here speaking. We find him here in these verses, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ speaking to his apostles or his disciples, saving Judas Iscariot, who by this time had departed the company, departed this upper room, in order to go and betray the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews and the Jews to the Romans. But he addresses them as follows. He says to them, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And of course, he's addressing here not only his immediate disciples, but all those who are going to become his disciples and believers in him in the future. "I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Well, at that point, Thomas asked a question, and then our Lord Jesus Christ answered with those famous words that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Now, you notice, dear friends, that in these verses here, that one of the things that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ spoke to his 11 apostles or disciples about, once again, was his ascension. And really, we've been spending today looking at that. We're looking at his ascension this morning, a number of things about it, three main things about it. And I want to continue this subject or theme also tonight. By seeing here, he's speaking to them here about his ascension. He doesn't mention explicitly his ascension here, but it is, of course, implied when he says about his going. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In heaven there are many mansions. Amen. "If it were not so, I would have told you." Notice, "I go." And he repeats it three times here. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go," third time, "ye know, and the way ye know." And because Thomas wasn't really sure what he was saying here, he asked him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Christ, as I say, gave him that answer in verse 6. So you can see there that perhaps not explicitly but implicitly our Lord here is dealing, one of the things he's dealing with in these verses is about his ascension. And when he says here about his going, he means that he is going to God. And he's referring it to his Father, the first person of the Godhead, the first person of the Holy Trinity. He's going to his Father, back to his Father. At the end of his life, and after his death, and after his burial and resurrection, he's going to ascend back to his Father and to his Father's house. He's going to go back to heaven from where he came into this world in an incarnate manner. And you can see this also from John 14 and verses 12 and 28, later verses in this chapter. He says to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, solemnly, truly, I say to you, he that believes, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go." Where was he going? He was going to the Father, to his Father. He's going back to the Father. "I go to my Father," and then in verse 28, "you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." You can see there that when he's talking about going, where's he going? He's going to go out of this world again, from this earth, and he's going to return back into the bosom of the Father, God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. As we saw this morning, that if we are Christians, this one day is also going to happen to us, that not only spiritually but also physically we are going to ascend to heaven, and only those who are Christians. We are going to go to God, we're going to go to our Father, we're going to go to his house, we're going to go to these mansions, we're going to go to glory, we're on our way to glory. We are going to heaven and Mount Zion, the city of the great King. And that is what we believe if we're Christians. And that is our hope as we go through this world and go through this life, that we are travelling. We are perhaps travelling to death if Christ tarries. But after death, we're not going to go to hell, where all unbelievers are going to go. But as believers, we're going to go to heaven. One day we should be there. We'll be in glory, both spiritually and also physically in terms of our fully redeemed bodies. So I want us to carry on this theme about our Lord's ascension. And tonight I want us to look at some of the profound doctrinal and experimental implications or significance of our Lord's ascension for our lives, and what our holy Bibles teach us about this. So a number, there's three profound implications or significances, if you like, of his ascension for our lives as believers. So if you're not a believer, my dear friend, these things don't apply to you. But if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these three things apply to you. And as a consequence of his ascension, what are they? The first thing is this, that because you and I are spiritually united with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's true of every Christian, the moment that they are born again, or the moment they are regenerated, we become spiritually united to Christ. He, as it were, is our head, and we are part of his spiritual body. I want to look at it like that. We're united with him in every part of his work of redemption or salvation. His past ascension into heaven foreshadows our future ascension into heaven with him. It foreshadows it. What happened to him will happen to us because it happened to him, because we're united to him. Secondly, his ascension to heaven not only foreshadows what's going to happen to us, it also assures us that it's going to happen, and that our final home will be in heaven together with our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be there with him for always, throughout all eternity. And then thirdly, again, because of our union with Christ, what an important biblical doctrine that is. What an important experience that is, to be joined to Christ spiritually. In his ascension to heaven, we are able now to share in part in his authority over the universe as he exercises it, and we will later share in it more fully in the eternal ages to come. So these are things that come out of his ascension then, and our union with him. Let's look at the first of these tonight and marvel at it, and marvel at these three things. The first thing that we are clearly taught in our Bibles is this, that since we are joined to him spiritually in every part of his work, his going to heaven, his going to glory, foreshadows and is typical of our future ascension into heaven with him. And a number of scriptures teach us this. The first, well, I've actually quoted it to you already. They're in John chapter 14 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples in this manner, in this way. He says, now if, there wasn't any doubt about it, he was going to do this. If I go back to heaven, back to glory, back to my Father, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, what he's saying to them is this. Because I'm going to go, and because you are my people, and you're united to me, you're going to one day also go to heaven. And my going is going to foreshadow yours. And my going is also going to be like yours. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's his second coming, his return back to this earth. And then when he comes, he will receive them to himself. And not only the disciples and the apostles, but all believers who are still alive at that time. So that where he is, there they may be also. So he's kind of teaching it there, isn't he? And it all comes out of this union. Because he's going to go this way. When he returns, they're also going to go this way as well. And his ascension is going to foreshadow their physical ascension into the very immediate presence of God the Father and into his presence after his return. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul describes it there. Again, describe what's going to happen to those believers who are still alive at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, then we which are alive, he's able to say that about himself because it might have happened to him because he didn't know when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to return. Those of us who are alive and remain when he comes shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ that shall rise first at his return, shall raise their bodies. And we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He was going to be raised physically. He was going to ascend physically. And one day his people, we, are going to ascend physically into the very presence, the immediate presence of God. So his ascension foreshadows ours. Then finally, the apostle, was it the apostle Paul in Hebrews 12 and verses 1 and 2, he wrote these inspired words. He said to them, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, we are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight like a runner, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. They keep looking to him. One day they're going to be with him, because they're going to ascend together where he has gone. Commentator puts it like this, the author of the epistle to the Hebrews wants us to run the race of life with the knowledge that we are following in his steps, in his footsteps, and will eventually arrive at the blessings of life in heaven, that he is now enjoying. So, my dear friends, because we're joined with him, his ascension foreshadows our future ascension into heaven with him. It not only guarantees it, it not only assures us of it, but it also foreshadows it. We're going to go the way that he went, in the way that he did. It reminds me, dear friends, of Siamese twins. I've recently watched a program about Siamese twins, and of course Siamese twins are joined together, and so therefore where one goes, if they're not separated by some kind of an operation, if they're joined together, it's joined together in the body and they share certain organs, where one goes, the other one's going to follow, and it has to follow. Wherever the one goes, it foreshadows where the other one is going to go. It goes before them, and it's certain to follow. It hasn't any choice, because they're joined together. And my dear friends, if you're a Christian here this evening, and it's just such a wonderful truth, we're not only joined together as Christians in a spiritual manner, we're joined spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're spiritually joined to him, and it's a join that'll never be severed, it'll never be separated, no matter what happens. Nothing can separate us from him. We are forever spiritually and organically joined together with our Lord Jesus Christ, our head, as members of his body. And so therefore, we kind of share all these things with him in every aspect of his work of redemption. We died with him. We were buried with him. We rose together with him. And my dear friend, as he ascended, we also shall ascend together with him. We shall follow him. There's a sense in which we've ascended with him already in principle, but one day it'll actually be our experience. That we, if he comes, we shall be swept up together with him to be forever with the Lord. So, my dear friend, does his past ascension into heaven foreshadow your future ascension into heaven with him? If he comes now, you know that you're going to be taken up together with him. Or if he tarries, and if your body is buried in the ground, he's going to raise it, and you're going to go with all the other believers that are alive and be reunited with your soul and be taken into God's holy presence. Well, yes, it does. His past ascension into heaven does foreshadow your future ascension into heaven with him. You're going to ascend not only spiritually but also physically to be with a holy and eternal and infinite God. Now, the second thing that I want us to look at tonight is this. And that is that our Lord's ascension to heaven not only foreshadows ours, but also assures us. It gives us assurance. It gives us a real guarantee that our final home will be in heaven with him. And really, again, that comes out in John chapter 14 and verses 2 and 3. Because this has happened to him, it will also happen to us. It happens to happen in principle, but shortly in actual fact. Notice what our Lord says to them, and it's so definite and it's so clear, isn't it? It's so categorical to the disciples and apostles and all believers to come. My Father's house, there are many mansions. In heaven, there are many mansions. It's such a large place. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. Now, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now notice here, it's a promise. He's promised it. He will never go back on his promises. He will always fulfill his promise. If I go, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So being united to Christ, his ascension not only foreshadows ours, his ascension also guarantees ours and assures us that our final home will be in heaven together with him. Commentator wrote this: our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, was a man like us in every respect, yet without sin, that qualification. And he's gone before us into heaven so that eventually we might follow him there and live him with him forever. The fact that he's already ascended into heaven and achieved the goal set before him gives great assurance to us that we will eventually go there also. There's no doubt about it. It is certain and it is sure. Because he is gone, because we're joined to him, we will follow him. We'll also go there with him. Again, if you take the illustration of Siamese twins, joined together, if one goes, the other goes after them. And wherever the first one goes, it kind of foreshadows where the other one is going to go. But also because they're joined, if one goes, the other has to follow. It has no choice. It's going to go where the other one goes without, in an assured way, in a guaranteed manner. And Christ going to heaven. I mean, a man in the glory. That's the promise, my dear friends, that we are going to shortly be with him. So does his ascension to heaven give you assurance that your final home will be in heaven with him? Because he is there and preparing a place for you. He's going to come again to receive you where he is. That where he is, you shall be, you will be also. And then finally, a third point here is this. Again, because of this spiritual union that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven, with him, in his ascension to heaven, we are now able to share in part in his authority over the universe. And we will later share or possess in it in a fuller way in the ages to come. And this, first of all, is the Apostle Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, where he wrote to the Ephesians these words, that, and he's speaking here about God the Father and the way in which God the Father has raised us up together. Paul and the Ephesians and all believers, and he has made us sit together in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me explain with these comments. It doesn't mean here that we are yet physically present in heaven, of course, because we remain here on earth at the present time. But if Christ's session at the right hand of God refers, and we saw this morning, didn't we, refers to his reception of authority and power and dominion and glory and honour, then the fact that God the Father has made us sit with him means that we share in some measure in the authority that he has. Authority to contend against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, verses 10 to 18. And to do battle with weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. You see that, my dear friends, because you're joined to Christ. What is true of him is also true of you now in principle. He is there. All power has been given to him. He has authority over all heaven and earth. And because you're in Christ, now you share in part in that authority that he wields. Oh, my dear friends, do you realize the special privilege and honor that's been given to you in that? And you notice that the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse 3, puts it like this. He says, don't you realize, and this is something that they were going to do in the Lord Jesus Christ because they were joined with him, don't you realize that we shall judge angels? No doubt referring to the fallen angels. How much more things that pertain to this life. And then, returning to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8, that inspired author wrote these words. To the angels, has God not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, this is going back to Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of your hands, the works of creation. You put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So that means there that we share with Christ in his authority over the creation that God has made, because we are united and joined to him. Then finally, just these two verses, and they're both in Revelation. First one in Revelation 2 and verses 26 and 27. And then in Revelation 3 and verse 21. These words of Christ to his people, to his church, to us. He said in Revelation 2, 26 and 27, he that overcomes this world by faith and keeps my works to the end. Notice, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. We'll do that in him. I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And similar kind of words to the Laodicean church in chapter 3 and verse 21 at the end of that passage. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And a commentator just mentions there, these are amazing promises of our future sharing in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. Promises that perhaps you and I don't fully understand now, but we will come to understand and appreciate more in the future, in the age to come. So think about that. Think about the honour that is yours, the privilege that is yours as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, being in Christ, being joined to him, that you, do you now, share in part in his authority over the universe. My dear friends, we should never be those who hang our heads. We are those who are the children of a king. And we are those that share in this authority over the universe, in part now. One day later, we'll share in it more fully and in a greater way in the ages to come. One day you and I will see just who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll share in the authority that has been given to him. So these are some further things about our Lord's ascension, foreshadowing our future ascension into heaven with him, giving us assurance that our final home will be in heaven with him. We should never, if we're Christians, we should never doubt that we're going to reach glory in Emmanuel's land. Because he has, we will also. Because he lives, we shall live also. And enables us now to share in part in his authority over the universe, the heavens and the earth, as we will later share in it more fully in the world and in the life to come. Well, my dear friends, today, tonight and this week, let us meditate on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things that we heard about this morning, and these things that have to do with us now, their significance to us, for our lives now, and also for our lives to come, and our eternal lives too, when we come into heaven. Let's thank God for our Saviour's ascension and its consequences for us.